More at feelingconnections.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
Let me get out my mouth trumpet.
Life can be so sweet.
Hey, you know what I miss?
What?
Nostralization.
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 Yeah. Haven't done it for a long time.
Push that button.
Yeah.
You do a mouth trumpet and nostrilization.
Oh, yeah. I do it all.
And
I do it all.
Our whole face. And he plays butt trumpet, too.
But I step back and I leave the kazoo to Norman and the harmonica to Dan. I know my place.
Yeah, you can't overtake anybody there.
Who would dare step into that arena?
I hope Norman calls today.
Yeah, I do too. For those who don't know, welcome everybody to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Believe it or not, there was a time in my career, if you can call it a career, where a huge part of the show was me playing my nose. This was the KUSA days, country music. Steel guitar is a big part of country music and Hawaiian music, and it wasn't so much the sound of a steel guitar, it was just, it sounded like a guitar. And I don't even know how I discovered it, but at some point one day, I realized that if I pinched my nostrils together and exhaled through my nose and sort of hummed, it was, you know, like a guitar, kind of like a tuning. So I did this on the air, and I guess this is how desperate people were for entertainment. It was a huge hit. I would get on stage at these road shows and step up to the microphone and tune up with the band. We had a live band. I'd go, give me an F sharp. Like, I even know what that is. I don't know what that is. And they'd hit a note, ding, 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 and I'd go, like I'm actually, Dan, what do tuning. You call that? What do you call that key?
You're tuning.
Running the scale.
What do you call that thing on the guitar? You reach up and you turn that key and it tightens the string.
The tuning keys.
Tuning keys.
Yeah.
And it sounded like I'm tuning up, trying to get. And I go, okay, I'm ready. And then they'd start a song, and we'd always have that part of the song where they'd kind of take it to the background, and I would step in with the little solo, whatever you call that part of the song, where you highlight an instrument. And it was so ridiculous, but it looks so stupid. It looks like a guy on stage just picking his nose. But it was amazingly, it sounded like an instrument. And so I nostrilated, and one day, I did it so much on the air, my nose like started to bleed. I mean, I just it was excessive. So I, for whatever reason, I walked away from it. But I'm glad you mentioned it, Dan, because it's time, maybe, in the near future, that I broke my nose out again and tuned it up and kind of got it back in shape. Dan, get your harmonica for a second.
Okay.
Is it handy?
It is. It's always
just
handy.
See if I still have the ear for nostrilating. Give me a single note. Give me another one. Another note.
That's the same one.
That same note, Dan. That's kind of the same note. I still got it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, play just a line. I don't know what you call it. I don't know music. Play, I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. Play that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, still got it.
Wow.
Still got it. I play Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. I'm trying to think of harmonicas on Jim. Yep, that's the song. Master's gone away. Okay.
I
when you really fancy it up, you do those sliders, like.
Oh yeah. Tough to do when you have a cold, though, isn't it?
It's oh, but you know what? It's actually a great thing to do when you have a cold, because you're doing two things. You're playing and entertaining and clearing your nose out at the same time. Thanks. That was fun. Sometimes you wonder if you still have it, and you're almost afraid to attempt it, thinking you might have lost it. But apparently I still have that ability. As I said, welcome to the show. We try to start off with the thing called the Burke segment. It's nothing more than these two guys throwing something into the pot to start the show. Do you have anything?
I do not.
All right. Non-contributor. Let me make a note of that. What about you?
Yeah, I got one thing.
All right. Here's a man always prepared to help the show when the show is in need of material, as it is every day. Eon the Peon, our control board operator. What do you have?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm maybe going to release some news that hasn't been discussed
so far
as I've heard.
Whoa.
I saw this article today.
Okay.
This is on... BeforeIt'sNews.com, they are saying that they give 10 reasons why Paul Walker was assassinated by a drone.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this is huge.
This is written by a gentleman that writes articles for Truther.org.
Yeah.
We've heard those Truther people before.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so long to get into,
ridiculous. It's actually entertaining.
This guy, goes into. Each reason has like a huge paragraph, and essentially, he's saying that maybe the president wanted Paul Walker. Paul Walker dead with a drone strike.
Well, so, I think when a lot of people think of threat to this country, the first name that pops into mind is Paul Walker.
Yes, and they said everybody wants to know why the Obama administration would want to assassinate Paul Walker. Well, I would think everybody would want to know why. And this guy says, well, I can only theorize it's possible that Walker was assassinated in order to highlight Operation Fast and Furious, which apparently is...
Bingo.
A...
gun deal.
Yeah, a gun deal with the government. Uh-huh. So they want this Fast and Furious to be all in the news, people repeating it over and over, so we're kind of desensitized to it when this operation goes into effect.
That makes sense to me. I think he nailed it.
Yeah, it says, since Walker's death, the words Fast and Furious have been in the news nonstop and have been subconsciously programming the public in a psychological manner for an impending state-sponsored terror attack that will likely be connected to Operation Fast and Furious.
This is big.
Well, this guy's done his homework.
In the aftermath of said terror attack, Obama would likely attempt to ban and confiscate guns in America, which would be unfair since you supplied the guns. And highly anti-American. Suffice to say, the incident would inevitably lead to the second American Civil War over the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. So Paul Walker's death is going to lead to a second Civil War.
Wow.
And I'm glad there are people that did bother to
You
dig.
Didn't even hear of Paul Walker before this incident.
No, never even knew who he was.
You didn't know how powerful his death would be.
Thank goodness somebody brought this to light.
Yes.
This is crazy.
I saw that car again this morning, and... if they hadn't said it's a Porsche Carrera, I mean, you'd know what it was. You see a piece of red metal. And
hood, though, that's one of this guy's
theories.
The
hood
theories.
Was
the
intact.
Hood unscathed.
Yeah.
But apparently the car went through four trees and a light pole, and the hood is sitting there.
The hood's okay.
So they're
right
saying
there.
A drone, this guy's saying a drone missile hit the car first. Before.
I believe it. I believe
drone
it.
Missile.
So I saw the car, and what I was thinking was, And I know somebody in the listening audience has had this happen to them or has had to go through this horrible thing. I've never had to walk up on a horrible, whoever was the first on the scene to that car had to see the most grotesque, disgusting, graphic, blood, guts, charred. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I've never had to stare at that. And when you talk about EMTs and paramedics and stuff, what we usually think of is them rushing to the scene with a defibrillator clear or an intravenous thing or a CPR. But they also, many times, have to walk up to a scene where there's a brain on the pavement and a leg halfway through the windshield and an eyeball stuck to the other side of the windshield. I mean, just stuff, nightmare stuff. They have to see that, too. And I'm just glad I've never had to. Have you ever had to, either one of you had to see something?
No.
That you literally
luckily, no.
Thought you'd never be able to sleep again when you. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. It was a guy.
Oh, that accident.
A guy that
factory,
got killed
right?
in the factory, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You told us about that. I can't even imagine walking up like to a minivan and the family is dead.
No.
And the kids are, I mean, not just dead, but just horrible. Holy cow. I talked to a cop, a Chicago cop, many, many, many years ago. I'll have to sort of set this up for you because otherwise you go, what were you talking to a Chicago cop for? He didn't stop me and I wasn't in Chicago. We were in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I was doing some work for Southwestern Bell. When there was a Southwestern Bell, and it was a film. And it was a training film on how to drive in the ice. And there's a training facility in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I've talked about this before. They took over an old abandoned runway, and they watered it down, and it froze over. And they took a Zamboni machine, and they kind of made it slicker. And they used that frozen runway to teach people how to drive on in icy conditions, truck drivers, school bus drivers, cops.
Good idea. Actually.
Yeah, anybody who drove for a living and would drive through a part of the country where there was literally solid ice, and there's a trick to it. And so I go up there to do this film, and I will tell you that it is in my life the coldest I have ever been. They told me before I left, they said it will be without wind chill, it'll be 30 below. And it was. It was 30 below zero. Ew. And they sent me a handbook on how not to freeze to death. And I got up there and got a rental car, and all the rental cars had engine block heaters. You had to plug your car in. There was no hybrid or electric car. This was so the car would just start. It would warm the engine block. So we get to this facility. It was a trailer on this abandoned airport, and they had the Zamboni, and it was kind of interesting to watch. They used a Chrysler, New Yorker, and you just see just spinning and spinning and spinning out of control. But because you had so much space, it would literally finally slow down and not hit anything. They did have the runway lined with some big bales of straw and stuff, but you had lots of room to regain control. But as we're doing this, we're warming up in the trailer because you can only shoot for literally 10 minutes at a time. And the zoom on the camera would freeze. It wouldn't zoom anymore. It's so cold. So we'd go and warm up, and there's a cop in there. And I met him, and he explained why he was there, that the department would send their guys there, because Chicago gets a lot of ice, to learn how to drive on ice. And this guy told me a story. I've never gotten this out of my head. We started just talking about being a cop. And I'm the kind of person that wants to hear a story. And I said, so, cop in Chicago, wow, that's a tough place to be a cop. What's the worst thing you've ever seen? And I thought he was going to say, well, we went to the house and there was a triple homicide. No, he said the worst thing he ever saw was a guy who had decided to commit suicide on his motorcycle. And he decided the way he'd do it was he would jump out onto the interstate outside of Chicago, deliberately going the wrong way, and he sat on a ramp that was an exit ramp, but he used it as an entry ramp, so he could be going the wrong way, and he waited specifically for a tractor-trailer truck. And he hit it at a real high speed head-on, and he said when they got there, they couldn't find him. He said there were pieces of the bike.
He had just melded into it.
He went into the grill of the tractor-trailer truck like a waffle. You know, the grill of the truck. He said they were standing there scratching their heads going, where is this guy's body? And somebody pointed to the grill of the truck, and in little cubes, his flesh had gone into the grill of that truck waffled him. And they had to pick pieces of ham out of the grill. He said, that's the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
I'll say.
So I've never, but I saw that Paul Walker car, and I just thought, man, somebody had to arrive there.
You know who else to talk to about things like that as firefighters when they arrive on scenes of accidents and stuff, because they're a lot of times they're having to pull people out and they see stuff.
And I don't think it makes me weird. I think most people are curious, but everyone, then you'll get, every once in a while you'll get to a story where you go, okay, that's enough. I thought I wanted to hear this. I don't want to hear any more of this. I will tell you one other quick one and then we'll leave this subject because a lot of people aren't comfortable with this stuff. In about 1993, I bought a Harley Davidson. It was a Heritage Classic. And a guy went with me to pick it up, and when he had heard I was going to buy it, he had gone with me to kind of pick it out, and he got the fever, and he decides he's going to buy a Harley too. And he said, I'm glad you did this because it got me back in the saddle, as they say. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I haven't ridden a motorcycle for 15 years. And I was an avid rider, rode all the time. I said, what happened? He said, one thing, one day that took me off of my bike for 15 years, I couldn't get on it again. Check this out. He was in his car, and he was one of the first on the scene where a guy had had an accident on a motorcycle. And he pulls over, and the vehicle that was involved, it hit the bike, pulls over, and then pretty quickly, here comes a highway patrolman. And when the highway patrolman got on the scene and saw there were only a couple of people there, my friend and another guy, he said, look, till we get back up and here, I'll be here in a few minutes, would you help me just clear some of this debris off the road? And the guy said, yeah, sure. And he went over, he said, to pick up the helmet. There was a helmet on the road, and the guy's head was in it.
Oh! No.
He said, I picked the helmet up, and there's the guy's face and head. It literally just snapped his head off his body. And he said, I froze. I thought I was going to pass out. And he said, I could not get on my motorcycle for 15 years. He sold it immediately. And I get that.
Oh, yeah.
That would do it. A head and a helmet. That would do it.
That would probably give you nightmares the rest of your life, too.
Well, there was a case in, you know what, I know a lot of people are going to go, hey, stop it. Knock it off. I will stop it. I had a case of something that happened in Belleville, and it was even worse than the head and the helmet, but I'm not going to do it out of respect for squeamish people. I'm not going to do it. We can close Berkside. Was that it for you?
Yeah, one more thing.
Okay, one more thing. And now with one more thing, here's Peon.
I'd like to pay tribute to a gentleman who passed away.
All right.
Todd Mills. Okay. He died on Thanksgiving at the age of 41. He is the man who single-handedly made the Taco Bell franchise make a Doritos Locos Taco with his constant, back and forth with them, saying, you need to make a taco.
He was just a customer?
Yeah, just a regular guy. He started it back in 2009. He made a Facebook page, and eventually he sent him a letter, and they said, thanks, but no thanks, back in 2009. You know how that works. And then, of course, later on in 2012, they call him back and say, we're going to fly you out to try the new taco that we're finally going to make.
Now, are you telling us this because you're a big Taco Bell fan?
Oh, have you had the Doritos Locos?
I have not been to. Listen, I haven't had anything from Taco Bell in 10 years. I haven't been to Taco Bell in 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But I remember I love their tacos, and I don't know why I haven't gone.
And
I
need
them.
To try one of the nacho cheese shell.
What's this called?
It's a Doritos Locos taco. The shell is made out of a nacho cheese Dorito flavor.
Ooh.
So, oh, my goodness.
I like it already.
It's
I just
amazing.
Eat the shell.
It's amazing. So
you know where else I've never been? Del Taco. Never been to one.
Are they still around?
I think some there's places. A couple around.
There used to be one down on
Natural Bridge.
There was one on Grand, I think, right there at Forest Park Parkway or Market.
McCausland, there was one, but
I know it's a messy
one.
Thing to eat. But man, there's nothing better than a taco with really. I don't like all that shredded pork. Good ground beef.
Yeah.
A good
yeah.
ground beef taco. Wow.
Yep.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
And I know it falls all over the place, but that's part of the fun of it. And I'm going to have to get back in there and have another time. I remember just the basic taco at Taco Bell I thought was great.
So this guy died at 41. How'd he die?
It doesn't say.
Choked on taco.
His family said he passed away on Thanksgiving at 41.
Wow.
But yeah, so that led them, they started with the nacho cheese flavored shell.
Cheese!
And then they added the Cool Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Cool Ranch shell recently. I'm not a big fan of Cool Ranch.
I haven't tried the Cool Ranch, but I have tried the Doritos.
Oh, they're good, aren't they?
Oh, man. and you get it, the Supreme with the sour cream and everything.
Oh, stop.
Oh, mama.
Hey, you know what we need to do during the break, Peon? You could do because you're faster at it. I don't know why. This just came into my head. The Mamas and the Papas, Cass Elliot was supposed to have died choking on a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a myth.
Yeah, yes. I think so, too.
That wasn't really true. But for years, that was the story.
They said if she would have shared her sandwich, somebody
with Karen Carpenter,
yes, with Karen Carpenter,
they'd both be alive.
Yeah, here I don't it think is. That's Snopes funny. Right no. here says it is false. A false rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, thanks for reminding me of the joke, because you know how we like to tell people to watch out for things that are cruel and not funny?
I know.
That if Mama Cass had shared that sandwich, she and Karen Carpenter, if she shared it with Karen Carpenter, they both still
what be alive. What an awful rumor to follow you around.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like the Richard Gere gerbil thing.
Right.
I still don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I know that one.
And here's the deal. If it is true, what a horrible thing. And if it's not true, what a horrible thing
what
to have people
thing
saying
the
about
gerbil.
You.
Here's the official findings of the coroner's inquest. She died from fatty myocardial degeneration due to obesity. Due to obesity.
Oh.
A heart attack brought on by the fatty degeneration of the heart muscle fiber. There was nothing found to have been blocking her mouth or throat.
Well, that eliminates the ham sandwich thing.
I wonder if Snopes has the Richard Gere thing.
Hey, check it out. And we'll come back after the break. We'll tell people if Richard Gere really did shove a gerbil up his butt or not. Once and for all, we'll get the true story on that. I'm telling you, there are people, Mike Evans is one of them, who says that out in Hollywood, they swear that happened, that Richard Gere went to the emergency room with a gerbil up his butt. Yep. I don't buy it. But don't you know he hates that?
Oh, yeah.
He has to hate it, and he has to know about it.
Well, you can't even acknowledge it, because that would just lead to more scrutiny.
It perpetuates it.
You just have to ignore it.
Yeah, even if you deny it, it's still,
His nickname was Habit Trail Gear.
What?
Habit Trail. They used to have those habit trails for gerbils and hamsters and stuff.
Oh, is that like their tube?
Those tubes crawl through? Yeah, it was the
the hamster playground.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a habit trail.
Oh, yeah.
Have you, Peon?
Yes, I have heard of that. I didn't know exactly what it was, but...
Not much of a gerbil guy. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and take your calls. Dr. Doug joins us next hour. Speaking of gerbils and pets and things, so be thinking about what you might want to ask him. In the meantime, while we break... Feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to talk to you. 314-969-KTRS. Toll free 888-550-KTRS. We say hello to everybody who works for Schaefer Auto Body Centers, all seven of them. And hello to everybody who's ever taken your vehicle there. And hello to those of you who will when the time comes that you need to, because you're AM and the PM. We thank you. To those of you who have, and thank you in advance, those of you who will. And that's what I would like to have happen. When you're in an accident, you don't even have to ask anybody where you should take the vehicle. It'll go to Schaefer. You just tell the insurance company, look, I want it done right and you want it done right. And if they haven't already recommended Schaefer, which many of them will, then you, as the customer, have the right to say, this is where I want this vehicle to go, because I want it done right and so do you. You're paying for it, except for the deductible. And you will be beyond satisfied when you go to pick it up or they deliver it to you, which they have done and will do if that's the way it has to be. They'll also pick it up if it's not drivable. They will also get your rental car and bring it to you if they have to, or bring it to the location there when you bring your vehicle in to be repaired. There it'll be ready to go. They make this whole process so easy. And over the years, they've developed a system. It's seamless. And what you were dreading turns out to be not such a big deal because of the way Schaefer takes care of all the details. Seven locations. Hazelwood is the hardest one to find. It's up there on Dunn Road behind the Jack in the Box. But you'll find it now that I've told you where to look. SchaeferAutobody.com. Schaefer Auto Body. Oh, there's a C in there. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. Schaefer Auto Body Centers.
Speaking of cars, accidents, and the roadways, here's Tim Weiland, Tim. All right, Dan. Well, they just picked up some construction on eastbound 64 at 5570, and that has created quite a jam trying to get out of downtown. Eastbound 40 now is jammed up from approaching Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. The right lane of northbound 55 is back onto the ramp of 44. It's slow on 5570 eastbound from the Poplar Street Bridge through Highway 64. Eastbound 70 stacks up between Grand and Salisbury to the Poplar Street Bridge. Now, other than that, westbound 40 looks like it's slowing the usual spot, Hampton through McCausland. A little bit heavy between 270 and Mason. Southbound 270 looks pretty good, and eastbound 270 just slowing Lindbergh and 170. And this traffic report brought to you by Volkswagen Service Express. Volkswagen Service Express is fast in and out, regular maintenance with no appointment needed, dedicated service lanes, and expert techs. Find Volkswagen Service Express at your local Volkswagen dealer. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thursday morning on McGraw Live, we'll have a preview of the wintry mix heading our way. St. Louis City Treasurer Tashara Jones joins us in studio talking parking meters. And McGraw's board meeting is back in session at 9 a.m. McGraw Live with me, Kelly Jackson, 6 to 10 a.m. Thursday morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is Bob Ellman. The government shutdown is over, and we're busy closing loans because the rates have dropped again. Right or wrong, raising the debt ceiling has forced mortgage rates down. That's why I urge you to refinance to a lower rate today.
People are calling to take advantage of low rates, and if you missed it the first time around, this is your second chance. Call Golden Oak at 314-567-GOLD. That's 567-4653.
Now's the time to consolidate debts or get cash for the holidays. Our licensed loan officers are standing by to help you lock in a low rate.
Call Golden Oak today and get a lower rate of 3.25. That's a fixed rate at 3.25. Call 314-567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending, short my blues.
NMLS 1149.37, conventional 15-year fixed rate. APR 3.623 with qualified credit. 111 Westport Pleasant, St. Louis, Missouri, 63146. Call 567-GOLD.
Bertarelli Cutlery has been keeping St. Louis sharp since 1967 and is your one-stop shop for knife, scissor, lawn, and garden tool sharpening. If it's metal and you need it sharp, look no further than the professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery. For professional quality kitchen gear, such as Vitamix blenders, Lodge cast iron, Wusthof, and Global knives, head down to the Bertarelli Cutlery Showroom, located at 127 Marconi in the heart of the hill. They also carry great local St. Louis-made products, such as NHB knives. These knives are handmade in St. Louis and carried exclusively at Bertarelli Cutlery. They also have cutting boards made from locally sourced hardwoods, designed and produced by Martin Goble of Goble Furniture. So head to the Chef's Toy Store and see all the great items and deals to be found. Bertarelli Cutlery is located at 1927 Marconi in the heart of the hill. Call them at 314-664-4005 or visit them at BertarelliCutlery.com. Bertarelli Cutlery, keeping St. Louis sharp since 1967.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael White, a general dentist at Webster Dental Care. Over the years, we've talked about anxiety-free dentistry, stabilizing your lower denture, and affordable dental care. We now have same-day crown service, and we keep up to date with the latest dental technologies, including brand-new, state-of-the-art digital x-ray system. But what I really want to talk to you about today is what I call common-sense dentistry, which means the biggest trend in dental care over the last 10 years has been raising fees. If you recently have been to a dental consultation and somebody is quoting you multiple thousands of dollars just to fix one or two teeth, please come by our office for a second opinion. Give us a chance. We haven't raised our fees in over 5 years. We know what's going on in the economy today, but more importantly, we know what's going to happen in the economy very soon. Our office will stay common sense, but yet we will not sacrifice on quality or service. Please call Webster Dental Care at 96-TEETH. That's 968-3384. Call us today. Give us a chance. I promise you won't regret it.
An American Icon presents a holiday treat for the whole family.
Let it snow.
Kenny Rogers, Christmas and hits through the years. December 11th at the Family Arena. All your Christmas and holiday favorites, plus the hits that make Kenny Rogers legendary. With special guest Linda Davis. Reserve seats on sale now at the Family Arena box office and online at metrotix.com.
Hi, this is Steve Weiss from my friends at Compton Roofing. If Santa Claus is the last person to have been on your roof, well, it's time for you to call Compton Roofing and have them check your roof. No matter if it's a roof repair or roof replacement, Compton Roofing's trained professionals will inspect it before this cold, harsh winter weather arrives. And with the new Atlas Pristine architectural shingles, you'll get one of the best warranties offered, plus added protection with Scotchgard's Protection Algae Resistant Shingle. Call now before it's too late. Compton Roofing, 314-427-5912 or comptonroofing.com.
Some of our members are small business owners, and they know the secret to success is usually just that, a secret. So we built American Express Open Forum, an online community that helps our members connect and share ideas to make smart business decisions. We built this for our members, but we made it open for everyone. Connect at openforum.com. This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Willie the Blues Man. This is my kind of music right here, because I've been in blues for many, many years. Thanks for playing it for me.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Merry Christmas, baby.
You should have treated me nice.
You should have treated me nice. Ooh, yeah. Then won't you get your harmonica out? Join in. Have a jam
Merry
session.
Christmas, baby.
Merry Christmas, baby. Uh-huh.
Should have treated me nice.
You should have treated me nice. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Gave me a diamond ring for Christmas.
Diamond ring for Christmas.
Dan, I hate to say it. That almost sounded like it was
perfect. Yeah, you almost did it. I know. There. I don't know what the hell happened.
You messed up and hit the right note.
I don't know what
happened.
Well,
I'm feeling mighty fine.
I'm feeling mighty fine. Oh, yeah.
Music on my radio.
Oh, listen, that radio. 550, big 550, KTRS, yeah. Oh.
Well, I'm feeling mighty fine.
Feeling mighty fine. With Dan Strauss on harmonica.
Music on my radio.
I know you want more, but we'll just make you, leave you wanting
well,
more.
I want to kiss you, baby.
Callers are calling. We are answering. 314-969-KTRS. Toll free, 888-550-KTRS. We say hello to Harry. How are you, Harry?
Hi, Southside Harry here, Frank. And I told Dan it's my six-year anniversary Thanksgiving that I got out of rehab and haven't had any of the alcohol.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
And I was at a local watering hole for a birthday party, and I was talking to my son, and a fella come up. His name was Rob, and he said, "You're Southside Harry." He said, "I listen to Frank all the time, and you've got to be him." He said, "I'd recognize that voice." I said, "Yep, I sure am, pal."
See, we made you famous.
Yeah, we had a nice conversation. And what you were talking about, Rex, is that I was on the rescue squad in the St. Louis Fire Department for 19 years.
Whoa.
And I have seen everything. I couldn't even tell you some of the stories, but there were some fellas that they were a substitute on there for one day.
Oh,
and a couple
man.
Of times we had some nasty stuff, and I said, "If you can't handle it, don't do it." He said, "Thank you, sir." And he just walked away. And I said, we could handle it. But, yeah, there are some. But one fortunate thing, of all the several hundred we got out dead out of cars, never had a little kid under 15 years old that I had to see.
No, that's I guess, a blessing that
yeah.
you didn't
oh,
see
it,
that.
It sure was. But, of course, I've seen him in fires because we fought fires also, and things happen.
I think about jobs like that, though, that people have. And the other one I think of every once in a while that I don't see how you ever get used to it is the people who do autopsies.
Oh, God, I wouldn't even go look at one of those.
Well, I've watched it on film. I've not seen it in person, and that's enough for me. When people hear, "And an autopsy revealed that there was cocaine," I don't know that they really understand what an autopsy is. It's unbelievable. I mean, they literally just split your head open and slit you down the sternum and lay you open and fillet you, and it's wild.
Yeah, I watch all them crime stories, and when they start showing them guys in the autopsy room, I said, "That's it, I'm turning my head." But everything I saw, my wife said, you can't watch that and everything else you saw. I said, I don't know why.
Now, did she say you can't watch it? Harry?
Way ahead of time. We're
Harry?
Not supposed to say it, I guess, but Merry Christmas to you and all the gang.
Thank you. And Harry, when you said your wife said you can't watch that, she wasn't telling you what you could watch.
No. She just meant you can't watch that?
Like a question.
Everything you saw, she put it in a question.
Okay, because if she was telling you what to do, I'd say get out of that, Mary.
Yeah.
No. We get along. We just had our 25th wedding anniversary in June. No, we get along just fantastic.
Well, congratulations on the sobriety.
Okay, well, it's working pretty good, I'll tell you that. For a 77-year-old man, I'll tell you that, buddy.
Good for you. Thank you. Nice to hear from you, Harry.
Bye now.
All right. Long-time dedicated listener, Southside Harry. Holy cow, the guy's been listening for 25 years or something. Jeff's on the phone. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I'm in the PM, Frank.
Well, listen to this guy. Wow, what a voice. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, Frank. Hey, just wanted to relate a story. You were talking about this accident scene with the motorcycle. I saw, a friend of mine, he was a Navy SEAL, got out of the service. He was turned into a biker guy. I mean, he's still a pretty sharp individual, and that's what he liked, and he liked riding bikes. And he got dressed to the hilt in biker gear and stuff.
Right, right.
And in broad daylight, he's on his bike, and he's turning in an intersection. He had the green light. He was turning, and an older woman just went right through the light, didn't even see him, she said, and hit him on the side. Of course, it knocked him down, didn't kill him. And he was in shock. He's trying to get up and get back on his motorcycle. And he didn't even realize that his leg was just severed from the knee down. And he didn't even realize it. Now, here's the bad part. You think that's bad enough?
That's bad enough.
Well, he had a helmet, too, believe it or not. He had a whiskey flask unopened. It was a bottle he just got at a liquor store, unopened whiskey. A bottle, wet flask, fit in his back pocket.
Yeah.
It shattered, okay, when he came down.
Right.
And it went into his buttock, I guess you would call it, area.
Ooh.
And the alcohol, the cops gave him a DUI out of the deal. He, of course, the woman got a ticket for hitting him and everything, but he got a DUI, and he said, wait a minute, I wasn't drinking. I can prove it. The seal was unbroken. But still, they said, well, you had alcohol in your system.
Oh, my goodness.
No, wait a minute. So the bottle didn't break either?
No, the bottle shattered, but the seal was still on the top.
Well, now, the only thing I can think of, and this is a stretch, is I thought you were going to say the alcohol got in his bloodstream through the cuts in his butt that the alcohol seeped in, and when they took a reading, there was blood in his alcohol in his blood. But they just
correct.
Did it. They just did it based on a broken bottle.
Correct.
So was there a blood alcohol test administered?
Yes.
He
had it in his back pocket, and he said, wait a minute, I'm not drunk. Well, they couldn't believe that his leg was about, you know, the only thing keeping it together was skin.
Okay, but when they did the test, did it show alcohol in his bloodstream?
Yes.
Wow, through his butt!
Oh, man.
Wow, that's a bad day. One, your leg gets cut off, and then you're drunk because the bottle broke and the alcohol seeped into your rectum. That's a bad day.
And I heard that's a good buzz, but I don't know. I've never tried the Brown Eye Express. But anyway, no. I tell you that story and enjoy your show. You guys have a happy holidays.
A great story, Jeff. You too. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
All right. He may be Jewish. He said Happy Hanukkah. I probably should have said it back, but we've explained that Merry Christmas is an all-encompassing thing. Kenny is with us. Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Frank and gang. I have AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Thank Kenny.
I haven't been in a while. I've been missing you guys, and I always like when I'm around the holidays, I get to listen to you guys again, and you're talking about seeing bad things. So I've been a firefighter for 25 years.
You've seen some stuff.
Yeah, like the other guy said, you really don't want to hear it, but you sort of get numb to it and doesn't really affect you at the time.
But well, you'd have to.
Yeah, and you got a job to do, and you know you're trying to do good for the people and for whatever the case may be, and it hits you a little bit later. But even then, you get to go and talk to people about it. It really bothers you. And
are you still in that work in that line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Where do you work? What part of
Winfield Foley, rural fire company.
Where
fire
is
department.
It?
Foley up 79, right?
Up 79, right. About, what is it, 17, 19 miles from St. Peter.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate
it. Have great holidays. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Kenny, at your firehouse, do they have a fire pole at your firehouse?
No. Can make one, though.
Well, the reason I mention it is because they're starting to build them now, and they're not including the fire pole anymore. And I hate that.
Somebody's asked about that, and there is a story behind it for some reason.
I think if nothing else, just for tradition, like the barber shop still has the barber thing. I'd like to see the fire pole in the firehouse.
Yeah.
They say it's no longer.
Our bunks are ground level, though, so I guess you really don't need them.
No, and it's not.
It'll be fun to play around on, wouldn't it?
You bet. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it, Kenny.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, you too. All right, we got Steve in here. Hello, Steve.
How you doing, Frank?
Good, how are you?
I was wondering if the guy that had the plastic broke in his back pocket, if that's where they came up with the definition of drunk off his ass or not.
That's an original joke, ladies and gentlemen, by Steve. Homemade original one-liner. Well, if it wasn't, it is now. You just created it. Steve,
have a good day.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. All right, we can get Craig in here. We get one more in here. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Frank. I'm aiming at PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What's going on?
You're talking about autopsies. When I was in high school about 40 years ago, I worked at a funeral home, and they would do the autopsies there, and being the youngest guy there, it was my job to clean up after them. So I learned a lot.
Yeah, that's another profession, the funeral business.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, this Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, I've developed quite a while back, I said that... I know, something to the effect that this was the luckiest guy in the world, Mike Rowe. He gets the Ford commercials, he gets the Bounty commercials, he's the dirtiest job. No, he's not so much lucky. The guy, have you ever heard him speak?
Oh, man, what a voice.
It's not the voice. It's the voice, plus the fact the guy is brilliant.
He was Broadway trained?
Yes, he's a Shakespearean actor, and he's really well-read. This guy is a scholar. And isn't it funny that with all that knowledge and all of his talent and the classical type training that he ended up making his real money just cleaning out septic tanks and stuff on TV and as a pitch man for a couple of products, sort of just base level salesmanship to the average American.
I think he started, his first job was the voiceover guy for The Deadliest Catch, the crab.
You're right.
The crab show.
I think you're right. And you know those TED conferences they have, those like high-tech electronic called TED? He spoke at one of those. A friend of mine sent me the video, and I watched it, and my goodness, you can't even imagine what a tremendous speaker this guy is. One, you're captivated by his voice. He's got a voice. I'd pay any money for a voice transplant to get that guy's voice. But it's how he speaks, and you know within 3 or 4 minutes, this guy's about 5 times smarter than most of us. He's no dummy. And what I like is that he's on a mission and a crusade of sorts to bring back respect for blue-collar work. He said there's too much emphasis put on go to college, get a degree, get an office, be a CEO. He said we need welders and plumbers and electricians, and we need to stop making those jobs seem like second-class jobs and the people who have them, second-class citizens. He said we need those people. And he said they're decent, respectable jobs. And he says I've been in the trenches on this Dirtiest Job show with a lot of these people. They're very happy people, and they're hard-working people, and they don't have the baggage that a lot of other people do, everything that goes with a high level executive position and money and travel. They're grounded, and they're decent, honest people, and they're good at what they do. And I think that's great that he's doing that. He's encouraging. He says the enrollment for trade school just keeps dropping every year. Fewer and fewer people are going to these trade schools. He says college is not for everybody. And if you can learn to be and be very good at being a plumber, electrician, welder, whatever, go for it and be good at it. And I like that he's doing that because it's true.
Yep.
All the emphasis is put on, you know, be an athlete, be a movie star, be an executive. Don't use your mind, not your body. He says nothing wrong with using your hands and your body to make a living. So I like him now. He's one of my new favorites, Mike Rowe. Good feet. People who work hard to stand on their feet They know what it's like. My dad spent his whole life standing on concrete, well, most of his work life. He worked as a printer, and before that he was a house painter. But he was on hard concrete floors, and I remember the whole time I grew up, he had those work shoes, they call them. They're thick soles and steel-toed shoes. And standing on concrete, I never really understood as a kid. I do now. It takes a toll if you don't have mats, if you don't have the right shoes. My dad never knew about Goodfeet stores. By the time, you know, they came along, and he's so old now, I can barely walk. And too bad, because if we could run the clock back and go back to when he was doing that, I'd made sure he went into a Goodfeet store and gotten some inserts, arch supports. You should consider it too, especially, and this is why they exist, if you have pain in your foot or pain other places coming from your foot or feet. There are three locations in the St. Louis area. They don't sell shoes. They sell fantastic inserts that can change your life, could change your life. And I say that because it's not a blanket cross-the-board statement that no matter what your problem is, this is the answer. But for a lot of people, thousands of people, it is. On Olive west of 270 across from Friday, South County Union Road across from Macy's, and Shiloh, Illinois, Greenmount Road across from Deerberg's, the Goodfeet stores.
Congratulations to our Missouri Tigers.
Josie running left, cuts it back right, gets a breakaway to midfield, to the 40, being chased to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house.
The Tigers play here.
The Tigers have won the SEC East, and they're heading to Atlanta to take on the Auburn Tigers next Saturday afternoon.
Pre-game is at 2 p.m., kickoff at 3. Get every pass, every play right here
on the Big 550, KTRS.
Prices are falling fast at Rent-A-Center. It's the Rack Roll Down. We've rolled down prices throughout the store to their lowest levels ever. Shop our new lower prices on your favorite brands. Everyone's pre-approved for 90 days same as cash or flexible weekly or monthly payments with no credit needed. Hurry in and save like never before with new lower prices at Rent-A-Center. See store for details. Pre-approval means no credit check or credit required. Rental purchase transaction 90 days same as cash, now valid in Vermont.
From ABC News, I'm Stephen Portnoy. If the health insurance reforms are going to work, President Obama needs young people to start budgeting for monthly insurance.